A5, number 18B.
Yes, so we get a terrific sense, you see, that we define, so to say, now life, we define life now, not through the ideas of life, but we define life now through the seven synonymous term. We define our life through mind, say only that which mind minds, that only that which mind conceives, the primeval conception of mind minding always its own mind, alone that is life. Isn't it terrific, huh? It, negatively, it puts right away to say that which the human mind thinks is mind and that which the human opinion thinks that is life and what conceives of life is not life at all, huh? You can't bring in, say, a good negative, a clear-cut, strong opposite, and strengthen, so to say, your consciousness. But that, you see, it says, what principle think mind life is not life. Even if they think life is eternal, it's not life. It's only what mind, the infinite mind, conceives of itself. I say, could you say mind minding its own mind? That minding, turning over, mind turning over in its own mind what mind is. Isn't it beautiful? We would lose any sense of fear of death. We would lose any sense that we die once and what happens afterwards. We die right now when we begin to see that only mind is life. We die right away now and say, not what I think my life is life. Not my conception of life is life. Even if I have a very ideal conception of life, it's still not life. It's only the divine mind, minding mind, having a conception within itself what mind is, only that lives, that is life. And therefore has always lived, lives now and will always live. There is no beginning and end to it. Let's take spirit and see if we can catch the tone. Though it's the language of spirit, let's be quite aware that what we speak with each other now is a dilution, because the language of spirit cannot be properly translated in the human language. It can only indicate it. But as one does it, something wells up in your consciousness, I'm quite sure. The language of spirit wells up. You say wells up when it... Yeah. All right. Life is spirit. See, if we have those two tones in our consciousness, it's a big new sense of life. Life is spirit. And spirit is life. You have a whole sense, say, of what? That life is spirit. Well, it's not easy for you to express it. Not even for me. I try to say it. Usually the best way to get the tonality is by starting with a negative. By starting with a negative and say, life is spirit, therefore not matter. That matter is not life. Therefore all material concept of life is not life. That matter has never anything to do with life. And you get the sense that life must be spirit and is spirit. So that only that which is free from matter, spirit, that which is free from matter, which has nothing to do with matter, that does not work through matter, that does not need the medium and the channel of matter, that spirit alone is life. Naturally, if one has a big sense of spirit, one feels, oh, the whole movement of spirit, the whole progression of spirit is life. That alone is life. Then life is soul. Let's go back to life as spirit, you know, just to see my word. What is life? Life is spirit. And you get a terrific sense how ridiculous it is to think that life must have matter as an expression of life, or that life has anything to do with a material body, with a material life, to be life. It just hasn't anything to do with it. Not the slightest. Life was before we had a material body. And so life is also after we have had our material body. Life is spirit. So the clearer we make a cut between spirit and matter, the more we see the eternality and the infinite progression of life. Life is soul. Yes. Life is soul. Yeah?
Would I be feeling it if I said life had no other vehicle but soul? Would that be the sense that you're trying to say?
What, that life
has no other vehicle, needs no other vehicle but soul.
Needs no other, that life needs no other vehicle but soul.
That sense of body.
All right. Then, then you see that life is soul, meaning that life has its identity, its eternal identity, and nothing can change, can interfere with the identity of life, with the unchangeability of life, with the immortality of life. Nothing can, distort that life, because it has identity. It is unchangeable. It is untouchable. Life cannot be distorted. So you have a feeling that life is soul, that life always is life and never can lose its life, lifeishness. Yeah. Another term for the Webster. Yes. Do you see that? The moment you say life is soul, and you know soul is that unchangeable, you know, that soul that just nothing can touch soul, Think of it, that nothing can touch life. That if life is soul, nothing can touch life. That life cannot come and go anymore because it's soul. That life cannot be distorted because it's soul, it has identity. That life does not is not born and is dying because it's soul. It's infinite, unchangeable identity. It has been and was and is and ever will be. That's life as soul. If we would see that, then again, we would lose any mystery about what is life here and what is life afterwards. That mystery that still says what's coming afterwards. If we put it right now into soul and see there is no afterwards for soul, because soul doesn't come and go. Soul has no loss. So life remains life, just as life has been before we were in the body, life has been. And in that way, life is, even if we lose our body. It doesn't touch it. Yes?
Wouldn't that sense of not being in anything, too?
Yes?
There's always a sense that life doesn't have...
That life has to be in something. Huh? We never believe in life if we don't see it moving in a body. Huh? Yeah, it's always so interesting to see. I mean, if you have been sitting at the bedside of somebody who is dying and so on, how foolish it is to think, does it still move? Does it still breathe? As long as it breathes, you think, still alive, huh? The moment it doesn't breathe anymore, you say, oh, it's gone. So we attribute to life the ability that the body breathes. We attribute what? That mortal mind lives in a body. You see, life and mind, life is mind. We wouldn't ask for mortal mind to determine how much life there is in a body. If life is soul, we wouldn't ask the body, is life in the body? we would see that life is not in the body, has never been in the body, never would watch, therefore, does the body move or breathe or not. It's all so silly when you think it out. You see that you find practically, you find every answer just by knowing the seven synonymous terms. All this question about dying and what is after death and before birth and so on is resolved when you see, oh, life is mind. Has nothing to do with the material creation. It's mind's own creation. It's mind, what mind knows about itself. Oh, life has to do with spirit. It hasn't to do anything with matter. So don't look at matter if there is life in matter. Life has to do with soul, with the unchangeability of soul that is always outside of any limitation, of any limited manifestation. Then we would never look at a limitation and see, does life live in that limited thing? Be it in a tree, or be it in a body, or be it in an animal, or be it in a flower, etc., etc. I remember once seeing that. I was very young at that point, a real greenhorn. And that has made such a terrific impact on my life. I was still in what we call in digs at the student. Do you say in digs? And the household mother who looked after us, she suddenly felt that she always had heart trouble. And so she just came in, fell into my door, and I just could keep her, hold her up and put her on my couch and lay her down, and there she was. And so I thought, why did she come to me? Because next door was a medical student. She could have just dropped into the other door too. But naturally she has looked into my books, you see. And so I was afraid. I was terribly afraid, because I knew if something happens now to her, next door is a medical man, and I don't say anything, I really could get into trouble. So I first had to overcome fear about it. And, after I prayed and I did what I knew as a greenhorn at that time, and I think it was jolly good still. And she recovered. All right, she recovered. But then she brought me some cut flowers. You know, cut flowers. It was a flower that usually only keeps in the water for 3 days or so, and then they wither. And she brought that as kind of acknowledgement that she would say, I know you helped me. But I wasn't quite sure. Something came to me and said, but, you know, that would have got better also without you. She just would have, she lay down, had a good rest, and she would have recuperated without you. And that was quite a test for me. And so I said, I want to know the answer. You know, like Jacob, he said, I don't let you go until you bless me, until you tell me what's happening, what was happening. And so I thought, I must have an answer. I didn't know how to get an answer. And as I was sitting there and struggling with the truth and with the answer, my eyes fell on those flowers. And something said to me, you flower, you give me the answer. I didn't know how. You give me the answer. You were a sign of gratitude. Now, is that sign of gratitude really something that has to do with the spiritual or just the human side? And I said to those flowers, you give me the answer. I didn't know how, but they gave me the answer. They stayed fresh for 4 weeks. Oh. Until I said, you gave me the answer, then they withered. And when she bought those flowers, she bought also a few for herself and put it into her ways, but they withered away after 3 days. But mine stayed for 4 weeks. Every time I came into my room, I said, you give me the answer. And finally, I found in me the answer and said, now I'm satisfied. And then they withered. And so, can you see what life as soul is? life as soul means that life has identity and doesn't change anymore. And it translates itself even to that plane. So those synonymous terms are terrific, you know. They are so simple, you only need 7 synonymous terms to solve questions, all questions. The question is only, do we know the tonality of it, and do we blend them? So if life is soul, then life has identity, unchangeable identity. What it means, really only the spirit tells you in your quiet hour, where you are quiet within yourself. The heart must be still. If you take life and see that life is principle, Siva, just try to listen, you see, now spiritually, not to me, life, the eternality of life, the infinite individuality of life, the everlasting sense of being is principle. You perhaps get the sense what it means when you take the opposite is not person, huh? Not theories, not person. A person has no life eternal. A person just doesn't have life eternal, thank God. Think if they would always stay around. So let's have life as principle. And as principle, you begin to see that only that is life which principle brings into operation. Only the operation of principle is actually life. The operation of a body is not life. The operation of organs is not life. Not even if those organs function harmoniously. It's not life. It's not life. Only the operation of principle is life. It takes some courage to accept the new sense of life. You just ask yourself, is that the satisfactory sense of life for me? That only that what principle operates is life, and that what people have as life is not life, that the living system which we have as living organism which we have is not life, not life at all. It's just mortal mind rolling along harmoniously for a time and then getting out of gears. But that's mortal mind. The organs is living organs are mortal mind in matter, that's all. Human belief in matter. But principle, the operation of principle, the system of principle in operation, that is life. Whatever that principle brings forth is life. So if principle brings forth, say, a new interpretation of that principle, that's life, a new vision of life. Huh? If principle begins to interpret itself a new way, operates as interpretation, gives us new interpretation, that's life. That's life. Where there is no vision, the people perish. That's true for an individual, that's true for an organization, that's true for a nation, that's true for a government, that's true for the world, that's true for a whole culture. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We have had 24 great cultures and they are all gone, except a few that still try to live. And they seem to fall to pieces very soon too. It's always principle operating, that is life. Or we take life as truth, not as truth, sorry. Life is truth, see? The truth that is life, the life that is truth, that's a rendering that Mrs. Eddy used, the Bible uses. So we begin to see life is truth. Life is divine consciousness. Divine consciousness is life. So as long as we have a human consciousness and a human system of reference according to which we live, this is not life, what we live. If we live according to a human consciousness, according to a subconsciousness, according to a collective unconsciousness, according to archetypal beliefs, this is not life. Life is truth, divine consciousness. Yes? Life is love. We. Life is love. Life is life only then when it is love. Life is life because, therefore, Because love says, I'm never without my manifestation. I'm never without my object. I'm never separated from my manifestation. I'm always manifested. That's love, huh? The unity of love and idea as its full expression. Love saying God can never be without its expression. There is no situation where the idea is not fully expressed. So life is love. You begin to see that life is always only then life when it is fully expressed. Or life is life because it is love, because it cannot be deprived of its manifestation of life. It's only at this point really where we lose the fear of death. Fear, love, death, life, where we lose the fear of death, there where we see that life is life because it is always, must always, cannot help but be always expressed as life. That's life as love. So if you just stay with life alone and see, well, life is eternal, life is everlasting, and life goes on, and there is no beginning, no end to life, you only have, so to say, a linear sense of life. How could I say? But the moment you begin to see that life is love, it means life is always at the point of being expressed. It's always at the point of showing the demonstration of life itself. Where you don't feel that life is going on, but will it ever demonstrate itself? It's love, and it shows life being life cannot be separated from life, from being life, from being expressed. Well, it's difficult to express because the language of spirit does not lend itself for the human language. But you can see what it means, when we touch on that point that life is love. It means life can, for life there is no possibility, there is no chance for life not to be life. That's love, When we see that life has no chance, no possibility, no chance whatever, never, ever to be not life, then that's life as love. Can you see how you, just by taking the synonymous term and combine them with the other synonymous term, and if possible, just stay with the synonymous term, perhaps bring in the counterfeit quickly to pinpoint where the problem lies, because after all we use these synonymous terms because we want to see something right about something which is not right, therefore we do good, do well in defining really that opposite, and naming it, and looking at the problem and not closing one's eye to the problem. Don't you feel it's big? So what one of these big exercises therefore you can do, you see, when you are alone during the year and during the winter. Apparently the winter nights are not so long as in Zurich. So think what you can do. Your book is closed. You don't have to read. You don't have to let printing matter guide your thought. Now you can go to the Infinite One and let the Infinite One guide our thought. Mind that outlines but is not outlined. At that point you really sit back and you get the greatest inspiration, the real depth you feel then in being. Because your consciousness is right there where it should be with the seven synonymous terms. All right, we make a break here.